It is 22 minutes until the top of the hour. Ed Stetzer is on our studio line, so let me pour the hot water over the sink of crystals and hand him a delicious cup of coffee. Good morning, Ed.
Well, I enjoy that coffee. Thanks for the cup of Joe this morning, even though you're totally lying to all your listeners.
you make me laugh, Ed. All right, Ed, I want to ask you, are Christians often the target of fake news? What's up with that?
I think Christians are. I mean, we actually know. I mean, we actually know that Christians are often the target of fake news because the fake news, the examples that were, for example, the ads from the Russian bots were actually often religious. Army of Jesus was one and liked by a whole lot of people and shared. And furthermore, it appears that I think sometimes Christians are more likely to disbelieve things that they don't want to hear. Now, I'm not saying that every news source is perfect, and I'm not saying there's not bias in the media, but if every time we hear something we don't like, we yell fake news, I think we're actually, I mean, we're people of the truth. The truth will set you free, and truth deeply matters. We need to live that way.
Mm-hmm. Ed, what are some of the consequences when Christians do buy into fake news?
Well, I think it undermines our witness. I mean, how do we, as people of the truth, well, let's say you're on Facebook and you're constantly posting this is fake news and this is fake news when it's not, then how do we as Christians actually say that, you know, Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, is common? Because we've got kind of an odd story that we believe. You know this. Our listeners know this. We believe that there was God the Son who was born Jesus the Christ, and he lived a sinless life, and he died on the cross, and God raised him from the dead on the third day. And I would just say that is a pretty strange story. And if we're going to say that, and they're like, well, they believe all kinds of crazy stuff because they think everything they disagree with is fake news, they're going to discount the greatest news, the news, the gospel itself, which is in its most literal form, good news. That's how the original Greek would have been translated, that we're proclaiming good news. And so I want us not to allow fake news and our gullibility towards fake news. Not everybody, not every listener, not whatever, but too many Christians. I would like our gullibility of fake news not to overwhelm or ultimately undermine our desire to tell the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's my passion.
Okay, Ed, I don't want to be a gullible target. I want to be a more discerning thinker. So teach me, teacher. How can I be better?
Well, I would say that you don't assume. I mean, ultimately, don't read one thing and assume it. First of all, see if it's from a mainstream news source. Now, again, maybe you don't like CNN, maybe you don't like MSNBC, but maybe you like Fox News. Well, I mean, again, make sure that there's some reporting on major issues from all of them. Then they have a little different slant. You want to read them a little bit differently. But if you find these websites that say, look, we found this that disproves everything. And one of the things that just grieved me was all these Christians spreading around these conspiracy theories that have been just widely disproved and widely ridiculed. And because they sometimes their hatred for people who have different political views overwhelms their love for the truth. So what I would say is look for reputable sources. You don't have to look just reputable sources are not just mainstream media. There are reputable sources that are if it's a religious related story and you don't see it in World Magazine or Christianity Today, hardly bastions of the mainstream media, maybe you ought to say, you know, I got a little skepticism towards this. So I think it's be a little more skeptical, recognize that sometimes people just spread falsities, and for us, we want to be people of the truth. The truth will set you free.
Mm-hmm. Now, Ed, I think a lot of people have a basic mistrust in institutions. How are we going to even begin to rebuild some of this trust?
Well, I think partly sometimes people have distrust in institutions because, for example, I mean, you use a phrase like the mainstream media. What is that? It's not like there's not a the media out there. There are people. I know some of them. But I would say some of it rests on the hands of people in the media outlets. I think people need to ask the question, why are our newsrooms more staffed by progressives? Are there any conservatives around? Is there an evangelical we could ask a question to somewhere on the floor of this newsroom? And so I think part of it is their role, and I think we need to speak to that. We would say we need to, as Christians, you know, I'm here at Wheaton College. We have a communications department. We're training people to work in those newsrooms and others as well. Mm-hmm. So I think part of it is we've got to help shape the culture. That's got to be their role and our role in that. I think part of it is, too, we need to just insist that the truth, though it is unpleasant, be told. And there are some unpleasant things that Christians have stumbled on and made mistakes in, and that's what we tell. We tell those stories. That's part of the news But again, I think we can say that, you know, in the midst of this, that the truth is more important than us protecting our reputation. Here's the deal. Jesus doesn't need you to protect his reputation. What he needs you to is to be a person of the truth, to follow Jesus, to walk in the light of his truth, and to help speak truth into a culture that in many ways is abandoning the truth.
Mm-hmm. Ed, what kind of monster have we created by this 24-hour news cycle? Everything's got to be breaking news. I mean, we race to tell a story, and I think of Brian Ross. We talked about him a little bit earlier today, where he's been suspended now for 4 weeks without pay, and I think who's going to ever believe what he says anymore, period.
Yeah, and I do think there should be consequences to those things. And we've seen people make up. I mean, Brian Williams most famously just, you know, got in trouble for those things. And I think, and by the way, let me say though, one of the reasons that we also need to point out that these things are not that even though, like ABC News actually, you're right, I mean, suspended. So in other words, ABC News didn't say, oh, this is fake news, we're going to keep it there.
Mm-hmm.
Upon discovering this was fake news, ABC News, or wrong reporting, ABC News suspended somebody. That's ultimately, and I got to tell you, you know, I worked a lot with the secular media, if you want to call them that, and I've only been one time, the New York Times once characterized something I said in a way that I didn't think was accurate. But in Christian media and some of the religious news sites, I could probably say 20 to 30 times that I've been misquoted, taken out of context, something said. So we've got to do better. And I'm a conservative, inerrantist evangelical who sits at the Billy Graham Center and wants to just tell everybody about Jesus and preaches every week at the Moody Church. Yet it's Christian news sites that often have been the ones that have mischaracterized what I said, not actually generally the mainstream media. So what I would say is I want to see that change. I want to see us hold accountable some of these Christian news sites, some of these Facebook pages that people use that they just put incendiary things up. I think ultimately we've got to do differently. We've got to do better.
Well, Ed, I would say Christians are probably spending more time online than they have ever in the past, and they're probably looking towards social media more than ever for their news stories. So we need to be actively shepherding them through that content and through that process as well, don't we?
Yeah, for sure. And I think ultimately that's a key. So what social media does is it creates an echo chamber where the unbelievable becomes believable. So what happens is if we just get our news from seeing we're scrolling through our Facebook feed and everyone on our Facebook feed thinks like we do and everyone on our Facebook feed is mad at some group, and then what happens, little things grow into bigger things, grow into bigger things, and soon there's, you know, these secret murder conspiracies that are being, or these trafficking ring conspiracies that major politicians are involved in and more. And what happens is that it only became believable because we've been in an echo chamber for so long. And so what I would say is, first, listen to people who are different than you, and that's okay. Walk the journey with people who are different than you, and that's okay. But at the same time, always insist on the truth. And I will tell you, there are times when I see in my Facebook feed or my social media feed, well, I'll just say to people, you know, this is just not right. And this is just wrong, and people get mad. I mean, I wrote an article to which your staff emailed me about, where I just basically said this is fake news,
mm-hmm.
and we're too gullible to believe fake news, particularly when people who's literally called the Savior that we follow the way, the truth, and the life.
Yeah, Ed, let me take a break. When we come back, more with Ed Stetzer in just a minute. It's 14 minutes until the top of the hour. Minutes till the top of the hour. Did you hear me clear my throat? Oh, that's too bad. Sometimes I'm a professional, other times not. Anyway, I'm talking to Ed Stetzer. He holds the Billy Graham Distinguished Chair of Church Mission and Evangelism at Wheaton College, Executive Director of the Billy Graham Center, and publishes church leadership resources through Mission Guide, and also pastors a church on the weekend. In other words, one busy guy. So, Ed, I'm thinking about the Christians out there, the big group of Christians. Now, we all want to be gospel-driven, but are we being seen that way by the rest of the world? Do they see us as gospel-driven, or do they see us as power-hungry conservatives that want to run off and say fake news all the time?
Yeah, I think it depends upon the person, but I do think that evangelicals, you know, kind of getting a lot of hits because of some of what you described. I think most people see their neighbor who goes to church and loves Jesus as just that, their neighbor who goes to church and loves Jesus. I think we can ruin our reputation by our social media, by some of the things we say or irresponsibly believe. So I think it can be, but I'm actually of the view that by and large, it's kind of like, you know, right now, if you listen to a lot of news, it's evangelicals this and evangelicals that. And I've talked on a lot of national TV programs about this just recently. Last week I was on CBS News talking about this. And so I think that evangelicals right now may be getting a hit because of some of these, you know, that they're perceived as being, as you said, power hungry or whatever it may be. But again, I think it's kind of like Congress. Everyone hates Congress, but they keep voting for their congressman. So I think evangelicals as a, you know, as a category may be taking a hit. But the reality is most people just know their neighbor goes to First Wesleyan or Second Assembly of God, and they love Jesus, and they see something different in them, and that is makes the gospel even more attractive. So I'm not of the view that the sky is falling about our reputation. And some people say, why do you care about reputation? I care about reputation when factually inaccurate information is being spread by people who say they're believers in the Jesus who is the truth. And so I care about that because it undermines our witness. So, again, it's back to, I mean, you know, I'm here right now talking to you from the Billy Graham Center. Mm-hmm. What do we care about Billy Graham Center? People following Jesus. And if our witness is undermined by our pursuit of political power, if our witness is undermined by our belief in things that are obviously disproven or our gullibility, I mean, don't miss this. The Russian government thought that we were especially gullible, so it created religious ads to influence us in the election. Well, that grieves me, and I think that ultimately undermines our witness, which to me is the primary issue. I'm not in love with the mainstream media. I'm not in love with anything like that. I'm in love with Jesus, and I want more people to know about him.
Mm. Ed, I remember when CBS called me last week and said, hey, if you can't do it, we're going to get Stetzer. I said, all right, go ahead.
That's exactly.
Yeah. Now, this is probably something that pastors and ministry leaders are going to need to think about, pray about, and address, and that is the need they need to take the lead in discipling Christians as to how to engage in the media instead of listening to the political pundits.
Well, I think it is a discipleship issue. I think ultimately we should help people. We got to disciple people to know the Word of God, to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, and to be discerning. I think this helping people, two things. Number one, to be discerning, so they would discern more wisely, reduce gullibility, also think clearly. But so one is to discern, and the other is to ultimately engage on mission. So for me, when I now again, I have a, you know, because I'm, you know, whatever, a pastor and a professor and all that, so people who follow me on social media tend to be of similar mind. But I've got people from my high school who follow me on social media who are not believers. I ask the question, too, what do I say on social media that they will hear or not hear? What mm-hmm. will they perceive or not perceive? And I would think, ultimately, if we disciple people to think more discerningly and think people to think more on mission. So my question for most people is how will that build a bridge with your neighbor who's following you on social media? If they haven't muted you already.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking at someone's social media profile yesterday because they were mad about something. And it literally is just post after post after post of hatred and vitriol towards people who would disagree in the name, but all doing it in the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Ed, it just broke my heart.
Oh, yeah. Ed, with just a couple of minutes left, I'm curious, when I look at some of these sexual abuse stories, and of course they're just coming out one after the other, I know it's important as Christians and churches, how do we respond with the gospel when it comes to something like this? Because it is such a divisive issue.
Yeah, well, I think ultimately that what we need to do is when there's credible allegations, we need to ultimately believe, come alongside women, and sometimes not just women, but women, girls, boys, others. We need to come alongside them and say, we're going to stand with you. Our churches need to be the safest place to come forward with these kinds of allegations or accusations. And ultimately, I mean, if your church had, I mean, your church or my church, if somebody had a credible allegation or multiple credible allegations towards an elder, we would ask that elder to step down, step away. We would do that so that we can do a thorough investigation and more. I think ultimately that's what we should expect. Similarly, in Congress, in campaigns, and more. And I think for us to not speak into this moment? I mean, ultimately, you're sending a message to women and girls in your church when you don't speak or come alongside those who say they've been harassed or abused and care and minister to them. And what I want to say to women and girls listening right now, or not just women and girls, but anybody listening right now, that ultimately we believe you. When you come to us and say, man, this really happened, we're going to come alongside you, your pastor, your church, and going to say, how do we walk through this, go to the authorities together if it's a crime, deal with other people if it's an accusation, but how do we do that in a way that honors Jesus? I believe Jesus cares about the victims deeply, and I think we as the Church of Jesus Christ need to as well.
Ed, just a minute left. We've got, I don't know if I'll get a chance to speak to you again before Christmas, so right now a lot of people are starting to feel a lot of anxiety about Christmas. We need to look at Christmas as the real reason that Christmas is the birth of Jesus.
Yeah, and for sure. So one of the things we're doing, Ann Voss Camp has a little Advent thing that we're actually, last night we go through with our family, and we're trying to slow down in the midst of this cultural moment. Mm-hmm. We're trying to take the time to love one another and hear this gospel story and not get caught up in the frenetic pace. I think it's worth it.
Yeah, it's a good word. Ed, thanks so much for being on the show. Always enjoy our conversation. Have a great Christmas. If I don't speak to you again before the big holiday, and then we'll talk again next opportunity we can get.
Merry Christmas, my
thanks.
Friend.
Thanks a lot. It's 4 minutes until the top of the hour. Thanks for being with us today. That was Ed Stetzer, and he is from the Billy Graham Center. We'll take a short break and be back to wrap up the show.